Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, and we're with a very special guest, Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman, who is author of The Mayan Calendar and The Transformation of Consciousness. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Dr. Kalaman. Now, you have written with regard to the end date of the Mayan calendar, which I see is in day 7, October 28, 2011, which is just a few months away.
No,
really.
2 years away, yes.
Yeah, yeah. You say, what this means, in my view, that the end date is not just another shift. Instead, it constitutes the end of shifts that have been caused by alternations in the quantum states of the tree of life up until that point, i.e. the end of shifts. And I wondered if you could speak more to that concept, that the end date will be the end of shifts.
Yes. And, you know, I think we're in for something fundamental in the cosmic history. We're in for the completion, as I said earlier, from a process that started already at the Big Bang 16 billion years ago. And the Maya, they don't treat this as just another cycle beginning that you sometimes hear. People are expecting the shift to come, and that would be, I don't know, people have all kinds of ideas around that. No, I don't believe this is just another cycle. I think it's the end of cycles. And that may sound strange, of course, because it may, to me, it doesn't mean an end to life or the end of the world. But it does mean the end of all the shifts that have created the world as we know it. And this is not something that I can explain in short. This is something that the listener will have either to maybe get a glimpse of at my web page or read or study some more depth material that I have written. But I think most people are under the illusion that we create our reality ourselves. I perceive that as an illusion based on my studies on the Mayan calendar, which essentially show that it is different, the different cosmic energies that the Mayan calendar describes, that are creating all the shifts in the world, all the changes. And these changes have been, of course, they all have this unified direction to this completion, completing a basis, a foundation for this paradisical state, you might say, at the end of time. And but if you look at it, you will find that very often these shift points that have been part of the process of driving us to where we are, and that will drive us also in the years ahead, they have very often actually generated conflicts, warfare, and so forth. Because when a new energy comes in, the situation is usually that some people are favored by this energy and others may be disfavored by it. And so there's a shift in the balance of power, and usually that has in human history resulted in warfare and conflicts and bloodshed and so forth. Now, what I'm saying is that we come into a point when these shifts that have been creating the world, these wave movements that we talked about earlier, that these wave movements no longer will be creating shifts. And that, to me, means that for the first time ever, will there be some kind of a realistic and logically understandable reason why a millennium of peace could emerge on this planet. Why? Because there will no longer be the shifts that have been that the students of the Mayan calendar will know has been behind all the conflicts and the warfares that have existed in the past. So here we have a fundamental view, I think, where I may differ from a lot of the people talking about 2012. I'm saying we're not going to a new shift or a new cycle. We're going to the end of the shifts. We're going to the end of the cycles, and that's why there is hope. That's why there is a chance. That's why we can see that there is a plan behind everything that leads to a world that might be harmonious and stable and finally finding peace. Not like a pipe dream, but really as a logical outcome of the end of the shift.
Right. Now, if we take the period between now and the end date, and for example, move forward up to that quadrant that's called Day 7, which goes from November 3rd, 2010 to October 28, 2011.
Yes.
What we talked about in the last segment was all of the different examples of breakdowns, that is, the breakdowns of hierarchical structures.
Yes.
However, it appears as though the process of transformation here is a breakdown-breakthrough process. As old structures break down, new structures break through.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if we could talk a bit about now what the processes might look like of the various breakthroughs that are happening now and that will be accelerating as we go through to the end date.
Yes. I think to me, what I look upon as positive are all trends, you might say, or all social expressions of creating a world that is more equal. So it's very much we're facing this, of course, to some extent as individuals, but I also believe very much this is what you might call a social transformation process, and what that will entail then are a transformation into a world of sharing. A world where the interactions of human beings will be based on sharing, and that's sort of that's a breakthrough, and that's a breakthrough into the new world. And I think also another thing that is a breakthrough into a more global context where the borders of the world start to wither away, and which is part of this creating the foundation for a global peace. And these are breakthroughs, I like to say, because they will also be aided, especially by those time periods that are days. And looking ahead a little bit, then I'm looking then to the year you mentioned, 2010, November 2nd or 3rd, there will be a new more forward-directed energy, more creation of new relationships compared to the night that we have ahead of us. So that will be the kind of breakthroughs that I believe that we will have. And we will have it in the sense that the cosmic plan will serve to support it and help that come about. We will start to see reality in a new way, and we will start to see that the old ways of relating and based on just our individual separate interests will no longer work. And many forms of separation will disappear. And as that happens, we will have breakthroughs into unity, breakthroughs into oneness, breakthroughs into the perception of everything being one. And those are the things that I expect to come, especially then in the seventh day that you mentioned, starting in early November of 2010.
So it sounds like these processes are not necessarily at the conscious level, but rather these are the ways that human beings translate the various cosmic energies coming from the universal axis. Is that?
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Now, in what way is the galactic center black hole, the black hole at the center of our galaxy? Most galaxies have black holes. In what way is that related to this process?
Well, it seems that the best way of understanding the evolution of the universe is to look upon it as what they call a nested hierarchy of different levels. And the way I look upon it, our galaxy with its particular center is sort of a microcosm of the whole universal structure, which then also has an axis, as I mentioned. So there is an axis at the center of our galaxy, and that axis is a microcosm of the cosmic tree of life. So you may call it a galactic tree of life. And then there is a series of different levels there. The next level would be the heliospheric, in other words, our solar system, that also has an axis at the center that goes through the sun. And then we have an axis on our own planet that the ancients would often refer to as the tree of life, the polar axis. And then it goes down all the way down to the atomic structure, which is also based on a three-dimensional coordinate system of rotating energies. And the way I look upon our galaxy with its particular hole in the center is one level in this chain of the information ultimately going back from the cosmic tree of life that governs the creation of the entire universe.
Now, I've been trying to trace down the origins of the Mayan calendar, and that is, how did this society and the calendar keepers acquire this knowledge? And there were some suggestions that it might have been an off-planet source. Mm-hmm. Do you have any information on that?
Well, I made an interview a few years ago. It's for sale as a DVD. It's available from the Mayan Magic's website especially. And it's an interview that I made with Don Alejandro Oshla, who is the spokesperson, I would say, or head if you like, but spokesperson of the Contemporary Council of Elders of the Maya. And so he's a person that you want to go to. He's 80 years old now and sort of is a little bit like a voice from the jungle. And he's the person who I think is wise to go to if you want to know the current Mayan view of these things, which really then to him, you know, he would say that he's saying his words are his ancestors' words. He's passing down a tradition. And so I asked him, where does the calendar come from? And his answer to this was that there were prophets coming from the Pleiades, the constellation of the Pleiades, and giving the knowledge to the human beings on our planet, giving the knowledge of the calendar. So that's what he says.
Right. So this, why is it, do you think, that knowledge of the calendar has only come to widespread awareness, say in the galactic era, i.e., from 1999 forward,
yeah,
and that generally throughout the course of human history, from the beginning of the calendar back in, I think it was 3,115
yeah.
BC. Why is it that this has more or less been kept hidden in a small circle of knowledge throughout all of these millennia, do
yeah.
you think?
I think it has to do with this. I believe these energies that the Mayan calendar described, they are energies that they really serve to transform human consciousness and transform human perception of reality and our sensitivity to the different forces of nature. So what I'm saying here is that it's not like human beings have always been the same, that they've always been sensitive to the same cosmic forces. The way I look upon it, different wave movements emanating from the Tree of Life will activate certain abilities in human beings. And when that happens, when a new activation takes place, then human beings will increase the sensitivity to new things. So this would explain that, you know, up until maybe, if you go, it's probably only as little as 30 years ago, nobody in the world would say that the Mayan calendar held some deeper meaning. But I like to make the parallel here that, you know, if you go back 40 or 50 years ago, nobody would be sensitive to all of these kind of earth grids and ley lines and Hartmann lines and Schumann lines and all these kind of lines that are associated with different energies of the earth. That people were completely insensitive to those kind of energies also if you go back 50 years. So something has happened here that has changed our sensitivity to the whole field of creation, so that now not only are we sensitive to different kind of earth grids and earth lines of a more etheric nature, but we also now have become sensitive to the energies of the Mayan calendar. In other words, the energies of time, which is another kind of a grid in another dimension of energies, as you like. And so we have changed. We have been changed by these incoming wave movements, so that now we start to feel this thing again. It's quite amazing, as you said, that this has been underground more or less 500 years. The Maya, only in small minorities, have been using small aspects of this calendar system for the past 500 years. But then, in recent times, the sensitivity has increased tremendously to this, and so that's the reason that you and I and the listeners here can be discussing the existence of these energies that would have been completely ignored or denied if you go back 50 years in time.
Well, just to take that, given that we're talking about the universal wave movements here, have you found in your research any other text or documents or body of knowledge throughout the world that is at all a parallel to the Mayan calendar?
I would say, put it in these terms, that you find fragments, concepts, of the Mayan calendar from many different parts of the world. But I would say the Maya are alone in developing a coherent picture of sort of providing a calendar system that is complex and rich and multifaceted, that will help us, could help us understand the creation in all its complexity. So the other peoples of the world, they have used many of these in fragmented form, but none has developed it into a systematic structure, a systematic system, the way that the Maya did. And, you know, to give you a few examples, and you have actually brought some of them up, it's the whole thing we're talking about 7 days and six nights, which is part of these wave movements where the days are sort of the peaks and the nights are the valleys of these wave movements. The 7 days and six nights is at the same time a biblical concept.
Yes.
And you find it in the Quran. And you find you find other ways of looking at it in the Hindu tradition, and you have the 360-day year was used in many different parts of the world, which is sort of the basis of the Mayan calendar system. But it's in fragmented form, and I think the Maya were the only ones to develop it in a sophisticated and coherent way.
So that when was the Mayan calendar first developed in the Mayan culture?
Yes. Well, it doesn't come down everything at one time like a big revelation of the whole system. The Mayan calendar, I think, is best described as the Mayan calendar system, because we're talking about cycles within cycles within cycles, and all kinds of connected cycles that are making it up. What I want to emphasize are essentially two steps in this, how this was delivered to the Maya. And the first step is one that is the so-called sacred calendar, which is a 260-day calendar of different daily energies that the day keepers in Guatemala to this very day have been following. That happened about at latest 2,500 years ago. It may have been 3,000 years ago, but we cannot verify that. We can verify that it's at least as old as 2,500 years. But then it took another 500 years until they developed what we talk about as the long count, which is then now about to come to an end in a few years from now. So that happened around the time of Christ. So there's a gap here, or there's a shift here where a more advanced and another level of understanding was added around the time of Christ. And then you might say at the height of the Mayan culture was, you know, basically in the 6th, 7th, 8th centuries after Christ. And there the whole system was sort of developed, and then this classical Mayan calendar, Mayan culture, disappeared, you might say. Not the people, but the classical culture disappeared, and they abandoned also many aspects of their calendar system. So the Mayan calendar, it has a history where different parts are added and also disappears, and now, as you said earlier, it's all coming back.
Now, when the end date is reached and passed, Are we aware of any other tools or systems that will be useful for navigating the future?
Yeah.
In the same way that if one had the Mayan calendar, over time, it would have been very useful also.
Yeah. I think we will, at that point, we will be faced with such a new situation. Because up until now, humanity has been like guided by the cosmic energies. We have not been aware of it. We have been sort of puppets of the cosmic energies, especially since we have not been aware of them and have thought that we're always creating our real own reality and so forth. And so we've been guided. Not that life is always easy, but in a certain sense, the big process has followed a clear direction if you know how to look for it. Now, what I believe then is we're coming to a point where the threads of the puppets that are keeping the puppets dancing according to the cosmic plans, those threads will be cut. And that will be, it will be good and bad. It just means, on the one hand, a tremendous freedom. A tremendous freedom for the first time where we are not driven by these energies. We will for the first time then be creating our reality in a completely new sense, not just as some kind of a dream, but really so. And so I don't believe that at that point there will be any really guiding tools. Now we have guiding tools, but I don't believe that at that point the Mayan calendar will really be useful or anything else. It's such a new thing, and we will have to be able to very much be with ourselves without the kind of distracting, shifting energies that so far throughout cosmic history have been guiding us. It's a new situation. I cannot see any tools that will be useful. And it's, but it's also a tremendous opportunity, a realistic basis for a new freedom to be a human being.
Well, that's a very, as you said, both exciting and daunting prospect that we have. We've come to the end of this segment, and we certainly want to thank you. If our listeners would like to find out more, they can go to various websites, one of which is www.kalaman.com. Is that the best website to go
yes,
to?
Well, yes, I would say so. That's my own website.
Yes.
And it may not be the most active website.
Okay.
But that's the one I would go to. Specifically, I should say I have a YouTube presentation.
Oh, good.
Recently, and it's called The Mayan Calendar and Money. And so it sort of reiterates some of the things we talked about earlier in the program here and shows some of the graphs that may be explanatory for that. Then there is something called the Mayan Calendar Portal that is more of a portal for different websites that are presenting this view on the Mayan calendar, and that's also something that the listener could go into.
Very good, very good. Well, as I said, we certainly want to thank you for being with us, and we look forward to some time in the future as events come down. We could hear from you again.
Yes.
Yes. We've been with Dr. Carl Johann Kellerman, author of The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you.